Maybe it's your kids. You love your kids most days. You love to go shopping, right? Some of you like to go shopping. Some of you love your cars. Some of you love your jobs. Some of you love weird things. I mean, we all have things that might be seem a little weird to somebody else, but you love them. You know, and you know, that really makes me think of Brick Tamlin. I don't know if you've ever seen Anchorman. But there's a scene where they're trying to describe what love is. And he begins to look around the room and say, you know, I love carpet. I love desk. I love lamp. And they ask him, do you really love the lamp? Or are you just saying it because you see it? I love lamp. I love lamp. And I think we often do that in life, right? We say that we love certain things, and as we begin to look around and we see that shiny new thing at the store, we'll be like, I love it. I love it. Do you really love it, or do you just want it? You know, that kind of whole thing, and we kind of forget what love really means. We get our wants and we get our likes and we get all of those things kind of wrapped up into a wrong thing of love. But when we really love something, we're willing to give something up for it, right? If we really love our kids, we're willing to do anything for them. If we love our spouse, we're willing to do anything for them, even give our lives, right? Love can be a sacrificial thing. And this is where we're going to be focusing this morning, on this sacrificial love. But let's take a dive into 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We are going to go through all the way through 8 today. And I'll be honest, when I first read this passage, I was like, I don't know how in the world this pertains to anybody today. If you've ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 8, it talks about food that is sacrificed to idols. Anybody do that in this room? Anybody eating some food sacrificed to idols? No, I mean, Rima raised her hand. I mean, we might have to talk to her about that later, Tanya. But the truth is, it's like, you read it, it's like, how does this pertain to us today? Because I'm pretty sure none of us are sacrificing to false gods, idols, or any of that, and then eating that food. So it took a lot of prayer and thinking and seeking God this week, but I really believe that the title of this series, And Better Together, really defines like part of today and what we're going to be talking about today in having this sacrificial love. But 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 verse 2 says this, "Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know." And I think one thing that we've learned about Paul as we go through 1 Corinthians is the fact he's very sarcastic. Paul is a very sarcastic guy, and he is not afraid to show it. He's getting into this idea, hey, you asked me this question about, you know, what are we supposed to do about food offered to idols? But then they're responding, it's like, well, we already know what we're supposed to do. And he's like, and then Paul just goes into saying, all of us possess knowledge. All of us have knowledge about something. But it's like when we give into that knowledge, we begin to get puffed up. We begin to get a little arrogant when we think we know things, right? Anybody ever try to like, I know more than you? I've done it. Come on. Am I the only one? Nobody else is agreeing to this. Some of y'all did it. But what he points out here is that love is more important than knowledge. Knowledge can lead to a life of arrogance. And recently I saw this meme, and it says, we as Christians need to stop trying to understand God and just have faith in God. So often we get to this place where we want to try to understand everything about God so we have the knowledge of who God is, as opposed to having faith and trust in God. Sometimes we think that we know the specific line that we are not supposed to cross when it comes to sin, right? We all want to try to figure out where that line is so we can get as close to that line as we can without dipping our toe over. That's why we often have that question, hey, if I do this, is this sin? If I go this far in my relationship, is this sin? We want to try to get as close as possible to sin without ever crossing that line so we can know for sure that we did not sin or that we didn't cross that line. So that way we can also tell other people, hey, this is where the line is. And this is where a lot of the judgmental side of Christianity has come in, because we know what's right, we know what's wrong, and we don't mind telling people, right? This is the perspective that Christians have, that people have of Christians, is that we know everything that's right, and we're not afraid to tell people and beat people down with it. We start to get arrogant. We start to get puffed up. And that's what Paul is calling them out for in this passage. It's like, we know exactly what we're not supposed to do, and we know why we can do this. Paul's like, hey, that knowledge that you have, it's not going to lead you anywhere good. Instead of knowledge, Paul is calling us to a place of love. And the definition of love in this passage that he's talking about here is the agape love, the highest form of love that we can ever give or experience in life. It is a completely sacrificial love. It is the love that Jesus has for us. So when Paul is saying here that, hey, it's not about knowledge, but because that puffs us up, but love builds up. And we can look at the idea when we try to beat people down with the knowledge of what's right, what's wrong, we can often push people away. But if we're willing to love and go out there and care for people and walk beside them through it rather than just saying something and then walking away, love, a sacrificial love, giving our time, giving up things in life to show people that we care and we love them. That's what's going to begin to make a difference when we interact with people that way. I want us to be a people that doesn't beat people down. I don't think anybody in this room wants to be that way. Nobody in this room wants to push people away from Jesus, but our desire should be to draw people to Him. So let's love people the way that Jesus loves us, the way that Jesus loves people. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3 says this, "But if anyone loves God, he is known by God." So not only is love more important than knowledge, but loving God is more important than knowing God. And in actuality, a lot of the times, this is where Christians stop. They want to know everything about God, but they never really cross that line to loving God. And that reminds me a lot of the Pharisees. The Pharisees knew the Bible. They knew the Word of God. They knew everything about it, but there was an absence of love in their heart. Just because we call ourselves followers of God doesn't mean we love God. And that can be a really harsh reality to the fact that maybe we've lived our entire life as a Christian. We've grown up in the church, or we've known Him for a really long time and we just know of Him, but we've never really graduated to the point where we love God. At least not in a way of agape love, a sacrificial love to give up things in our lives. It's not just about obedience, it's about love. Sometimes I think if we're at that point where we get to that work-based mindset where it's like, if I do everything right, that's me showing I love God. And we live to a place where it's just obedience because we feel obligated to, we feel like we have to, rather than doing it out of a love and a desire for God. Out of love for God births a desire to want to please Him with our whole selves. This is what we have been talking about over the past couple weeks, is giving our whole selves to Jesus, to not hold anything back, but to really give everything over to Him. Not to just give our souls over to Him, but to give our hearts, our minds, our bodies, everything to Him. But sometimes, or a lot of the times, we hold parts back. We're like, I'll go this far with you, Jesus, but I'm going to keep this because I need my personal stuff. I need these things. I need to keep a piece of myself. I need to trust myself. I need to do the plan that I have for my life, at least a part of it. Because honestly, God, I don't trust you with everything. And I love how it says in this passage, but if anyone loves God, he is known by God. And those that truly love God are known by Him. And as I was reading that passage, it took me to Matthew chapter 7, starting in 21. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. That is one of the most terrifying scriptures in the Bible. Because we can devote our whole lives to living just to the obedience of doing what we feel that we are called to do. We can go out there and prophesy or evangelize and do all of these things. But it says here, I did all those things in your name, but he's like, I don't know you. And it points back to this fact that anyone who loves God is known by God. So if we truly love God, we can recognize that we don't have to live in fear of this passage. If we truly have that agape sacrificial love for God, we shouldn't have to worry about that passage. This should drive us to a place of love and relationship with God, but I have here my notes is don't friend zone God. I think we often do that, and we've always grown up with those songs like, Jesus is my friend, Jesus is a friend of mine. Come on, does anybody know that song? Okay, there's a couple in it. I was going to be really embarrassed if nobody knew that song, but it's funny because the whole song, they're like this on their guitars, Jesus is my friend. That's the whole song. They just shake their hips back and forth playing on their instruments. It's hilarious. Highly recommend watching it if you want a good laugh later. But that's where we often leave it. We have a relationship with Jesus, but we just view Him as a friend. We never get to the place where we truly, deeply have a love for Him. We all know that there's a difference when you go from a friendship to a dating relationship to really loving somebody. It just feels different, right? When you're just a friend with somebody, it's like, yeah, we're a friend. We'll hang out every now and then. We'll go do some fun stuff. But then when you're in love, you want to spend all that time with them. You want to be with them at all times. You want to talk with them. You want to hang out with them. And nothing else matters. I don't think we often cross that line in our Christian walk, if I'm honest. As Paul says this, he's trying to drive this point and saying that, hey, we think we know everything about our relationship with God. We think we know everything that's right. You think that it's okay to eat this food when maybe it is, maybe it isn't. We'll get into that in just a second. But when we allow our knowledge to get in the way of loving God, we're missing something. So Paul jumps back to their question of, you know, hey, can we eat this food? Is it okay? Verse 4, he says, therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ. Through him are all things, and through whom we exist. However, not all possess this knowledge, but some, through former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. I think we can all recognize here as Christians that there is only one God. This is what he is addressing at this point, is if there's food that's sacrificed to idols, it's being sacrificed to nothing. There is nothing wrong with that food because it's not going to anything. So he's saying, yes, you may have this knowledge, but you're missing the point. Because there are people that are living in this world that don't recognize that there is only one God, and they still think, even though they know who I am, that there are other gods out there. So be careful what you do around others. Because if they partake in that same thing, it's a sin. So there are people who have weaknesses and struggles with certain sins. I think we all know that. Everybody in this room, we have certain sins and certain struggles that we deal with. And there are other people out in the world that have different sins and different struggles. Paul is beginning to hit deep on this idea. And it's that there may be no other gods, but we often put things before God and we worship certain things. What is something in your life that you put before God? What is more important to you than God in your life? And you may not say it out loud, but what are you putting your time into? What are you putting your worship into? What are you putting everything into? What dominates your time? Those are our common idols. Those are our common lowercase g gods. But on the other hand, there are personal convictions that we all have. There are certain things in our life that may be not wrong to you, but it may be wrong to somebody else. And maybe God has put those in your life to help you to recognize, for some reason, personally, that is wrong to you. So for us to have these personal convictions that God has given us, and then to cross that line and be like, oh, somebody else is doing it, it's okay. It's a sin. So not all the sins that, you know, the Bible lists out, you know, there's some people that may have sins that exist outside of that because it is a personal conviction. So if we think we have all of the knowledge of everything that's wrong, we could be missing something that's wrong for somebody else. So maybe these personal convictions are something from your former life, before you knew who Jesus was. Maybe it's from trauma within your life. But there's a reason that these personal convictions are in you. There's a reason that they're there. And there's a reason that God is saying, don't go down that road. Because if you go down that road, you might not be able to turn back. Verse 8 says this: food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better if we do. But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. So again, here it's saying, hey, you can go and eat. It doesn't make a difference if you do or you don't eat the food. But the problem is if you cause somebody else to eat the food when they recognize that it's a personal conviction, or they recognize personally that it's wrong to them, and if we put them in a place where they stumble and they fall. There are things that may not affect you, but it is a weakness for others. There are things in our lives that if we do them, it's fine, but it's also fine if we don't. A couple of examples. Some of you in this room, I will say, you think that drinking alcohol is okay. Other people in this room, it's not okay to you. There's personal conviction within that. The Bible is clear that none of us are supposed to get drunk, but maybe some of us, we grew up in a household with an abusive father, or we had somebody in our lives that we know that drank a little too much and did too many things. So because of that trauma, because of that experience, because of a past life, maybe you were that person that you used to drink too much and you used to do violent things or do things that weren't pleasing to God. So therefore, you're like, I will not go down that road. I will not go back that way. I will not start taking another sip because I know where it's going to lead me. It's personal conviction. Another one is maybe it's rated R movies. Some of you in this room, maybe it's not a big deal. But to somebody else that maybe has struggled with lust, pornography, or any of those things, they watch a rated R movie, there's something inappropriate in the movie, and now they're back into the slavery of lust. Maybe it's swearing. I know some people in the room don't think that swearing is a big deal, but other people in the room, you will not do it. It will never slip out of your mouth. Personal convictions. The other thing is music. Some of us listen to some pretty crazy music in this room. I know you'd admit it. Things that you probably shouldn't be hearing, but that's your personal conviction, right? But to force somebody else into a circumstance where they're having to do one of these things or going down that road that may cause them to sin, that's not okay. Somebody may avoid that music because of the things that are sung about may, again, trigger some things that they used to struggle with or you used to struggle with. So we as Christians and brothers and sisters of people who love God, we need to recognize the people around us and things that they struggle with, areas where they could fall. We should get to know each other to that place where we can recognize, if I do this in front of this person, that could mess them up. We should be mindful of those around us because that's what love is. To care for those around us enough to be mindful of what is going on in their lives, to know areas of weakness, to know struggles, so that way we don't cause them to sin. You know, Tyler mentioned last week to not bend the commandments to our will, but to follow the commandment to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. I think so often it goes back to that point where you're like, how close can I get to the line? And it's like, am I at the line? Can I bend it just a little bit? I mean, is this okay? Is it okay to go this far just to bend it just a little bit, but not go full-fledged sin? Sin is sin. But being mindful of our desire should not be to get as close to the line as we can, but to love God and get closer to Him. Not to see how close we can get to doing something that's against God, but yet still staying there. Just say, God, I love you that much. Friend zone. I think that none of us in this room would ever want to be put in a place where we're set up to fail. Does anybody in this room want to be put in a room with your greatest weakness? Does anybody in this room want to be put in a place where if something's sitting there, you know you're going to sin? Or if you see somebody doing it, you know that you're going to follow that suit. I would say none of us in this room want to be put in that situation, but so often we're willing to put others in that situation. That goes back to a self-love rather than an agape love. A selfish love rather than a love for others. We should be willing to sit down and talk with people that are struggling, to find areas to help them, to be there for them, to know what their sacrificial meats are. So that way we can help them to get away from it rather than draw them close to it. To put the temptation in front of them. You know, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. When temptation is sitting in front of you, you run. You run from it. You get away as fast as you can. But what happens if somebody keeps getting put in that same situation over and over and over again? Eventually there's going to be failure that happens. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 10. It says, "For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, he will not be encouraged. If his conscience is weak to eat food offered to idols. And so by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died." Ouch. So to have somebody that has that personal conviction in place and they see you doing that and you know how they are, you know where they're weak, and then it's like, oh, they see that, I'm like, oh, I guess it's okay. And then they begin to head down that road. They begin to walk that road. And it says that is a path to destruction, to destroy that person. And we can recognize that Jesus died for each and every one of us. And we can recognize that he has brought us out of those things. But people that are new to their faith and may still have a struggle and a desire for certain things, if we are putting them in that place, that could lead to a path of destruction for their lives. But if Christ was willing to die and sacrifice for us, shouldn't we be willing to sacrifice things for others? Our choices have the ability to draw somebody away from God. That is a heavy weight. That's heavy to think about, that the choices and the consequences of the things that we choose to do could pull somebody away from God forever. Our choices can send someone into a downward spiral in their life and their relationship with Christ. Maybe there's somebody in your life that, you know, in your relationship with Jesus, that you've done something that has sent them in a downward spiral. Or maybe it's before you knew who Jesus was and you forced somebody into doing something that they didn't want to do and it started a downward spiral. That's a lot of weight for us to carry. There is forgiveness for those things. I want you to recognize that. So this is not about condemnation within that area, but talk to God about it. Confess to him. Receive the forgiveness that he has for you. But let's be mindful that we don't want to send somebody into a spiral that is going to steal their life away from them. Or even worse, steal their relationship with Christ. If Jesus sacrificed it all for us and for them, it should be easy for us to make small sacrifices to make sure that a brother or sister in Christ does not fall away. Would you agree? Do you think that each of us in this room could make small sacrifices when we are there for people that will help others to draw them closer to Jesus? I think we'd all say, yes, I could do small sacrifices. And when it comes to that, we can know that it may be a small sacrifice to us, but it can be a huge deal to somebody else. People ask that question, you would do that for me? You would give that up for me? I mean, inside you're like, yeah, it's not a big deal. But in actuality, you just set them on a path to recognize the importance of sacrificing for somebody else. To give up something for somebody else, and you have just potentially changed the trajectory of their life to draw closer to God because of a small sacrifice that meant nothing really to you. Love is greater. Love is something that we should desire to give, that we should desire to have in our lives. I'm going to close out with the final two verses of chapter 8. Band can go ahead and start making their way. Verse 12. Thus, sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Causing others to sin is a sin and not a demonstration of love. For us to put people in a place where there is temptation of something that they've struggled with is not loving that person. There may be times where it's not on purpose. There may be times where we don't recognize those things. But let's do a better job of getting to know one another so that way we are not putting each other or others in that place. When we are not being mindful of those around us, we take a chance of wounding somebody spiritually or causing them to fall into sin. None of us want to walk around with a gun shooting people. None of us should purposely want to wound people. I mean, we all have those moments where we get angry and we might feel tempted. But none of us should want to do that to others. When we cause someone to fall into sin, we not only sin against them, but we sin against Jesus. It's a heavy cost, right? That we're not only causing another person to sin, but we're sinning as well. So let's be a people that loves with an agape love, the sacrificial love, the way that Jesus has loved us, willing to give all, to sacrifice every ounce of himself for us. Let's love others well and put others before us as Jesus so willingly did for us. Church, can we love well? Can we love other people? Can we love them enough to give up certain things in our lives? I'm not saying you have to give it up as a whole thing, but just being mindful of others around you and not doing things when they're present. Willing to give up so people are like, man, you would do that for me. Because when we think about Jesus and his sacrifice, we can say, wow, you were willing to do that for me? Yes, he was. Maybe this morning you don't understand that love of Jesus. You don't know Jesus. But yet, even in that moment, he still loves you more than you could ever know. And the Bible tells us that when we believe in our hearts and confess Jesus as Lord, we're saved. So this morning, I don't want to let anybody leave this place if you don't know Jesus. Today's the day. Today's the day, because if I'm up here preaching about love and loving others, and I let anybody walk out of here without knowing Jesus, I'm not loving you well. Because I want to see all of you with me in heaven. So this morning, I just want to pray for us as a church and pray for you individually. And maybe you don't know Jesus. We would love to talk with you and pray with you after service. Or even during this worship song, we would love to pray with you. But Father God, I want to thank you that you are a God that loves us. You love us so well that no matter how far we've run from you, no matter how much we've done against you and purposely chose to do things that we know would hurt you, your love for us never wavered and never failed. Even to the point where you gave all. You gave everything for us. So Jesus, I pray that we could continue to live our lives imitating you in a way that we truly and deeply love others, that we are willing to give up those sacrificial meats that do no benefit and do no wrong for us. But Lord, it could have a great effect on others. So Lord, I pray that we would have a desire to sit down with others, to know others, so that way we can help each other to grow in our relationship with you, Jesus. Lord, we're supposed to be doing this thing where we are walking together in life, that we are walking and helping each other to grow. This is what your body is supposed to do. But Lord, we don't always work in a way where we love each other well. So God, I pray that you help us, that you continue to teach us how to love and how to care for those that are around us. And God, I pray that we would always continue to be a light that burns strong for you and helps others to know who you are and how much you love them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.